Welcome to Be More. Sarah Gretzinger is an entrepreneur, author, and international speaker who brings you her take on what it means to be an entrepreneur in the 21st century. Everything from building a personal brand to delegating like a rock star to creating and launching online products and services and marketing yourself as the go-to leader in your industry and beyond. If you're a speaker, author, coach, consultant, expert, blogger, podcaster, freelancer, or solopreneur, Be More is about to become your new favorite podcast.
Hey everyone, Sarah Gretzinger here, back with another episode on the Be More podcast. As usual, we have an incredible guest with us. Today I have with me someone who's been in the community for a few months now and who has taken the leap to dive in headfirst into all things savvy. She's spoken at an event, she's joined our membership, she's hanging out with us on Coffee and Connections. And if you just watched the last episode or listened to the last episode, you heard Kelly Fisher and I chatting about Coffee and Connections a little bit. So make sure you check that out in the show notes. And I want to welcome today's guest. We're going to be talking all things marketing, and we're going to dive into, you know, the one thing that really drives Sarvi crazy about marketing and understanding the process. Because when we look at professionals and what drives them crazy about what they do, it's because they have a true passion about helping people understand the importance of why this thing is so valuable to know. And it's why it drives us crazy as professionals that people don't know and understand this. So Sarvi, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Sarah. Thank you for having me.
I am so excited to have you. I had a chance to chat with you on some of our networking events, and you're just a wealth of knowledge. You've got that incredible background on your Zoom screen. Everyone's always talking about Sarvi's backdrop. It's a full bakery. So Sarvi, just give us a quick little snippet. Tell us about yourself, your business, where you're from, and then we're going to dive right into this process of marketing.
Sure. Sounds good. Before I start, I just wanted to say that being on your morning coffees is just so amazing. I missed the past couple of days because I had client meetings, but I look forward to getting back on that. And your whole Savvy Networker is just been amazing and so welcoming. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're so welcome.
So a little bit about us. I've been in the web development and marketing business since 1998. So I was making a custom development. I was a programmer. So I was making custom CMS solutions and e-commerce for larger companies back in 1999, 2000, 2001, and doing Google Ads before Google was really not a thing till early 2000s. Before even Google was a thing, it used to be web crawler and MSN and Chrome didn't exist. So it used to be Netscape and Microsoft Internet Explorer. And so I've come from a long history of being online and seeing how it evolved into what it is today. And it's been amazing, a great ride, really. So my company, I started as a programmer, and I grew from there, from not being able to keep up with the demand for programming, to hiring programmers and managing them, and eventually to getting into search engine optimization and paid ads online as well. About 5 years ago, we created our own website builder, which is called Piece of Cake Website Builder, because frankly, it is an absolute piece of cake to use, and it's super sweet.
It's why we love your background, bakery theme.
Yes, so we rebranded my whole company. It used to be called Register IT before that. Now we're called Piece of Cake Digital Marketing to go along with our website builder.
Way sexier.
Yes. Thank you. And we like to have fun with it, as you see with my Zoom background when I come to the coffee mornings. We got the pastry shop behind us. Mm-hmm. And when we go to conferences, we dress up as chefs, and all our articles have a lot of sweet wording in it. So we have fun with it. And I think it helps. Very cool. It helps with, first of all, being remembered and recognized, but also with dispersing sometimes really boring information in a fun way.
Yeah, and it's so important, right?
Yeah.
I have some clients who work in the IT world, and when they talk, I'm just going, okay.
Exactly.
Can you tell me something I understand now? I'm like, I don't know what you're saying, guys.
Yes.
And so let's talk about this, because when we talk about people not really understanding, okay, marketing, digital marketing, it's such a big world.
Yes.
Like, there is something new popping up every day, all over the place. People are just getting more and more and more bombarded with information and data and the things you need to do and the things you don't need to do. And it's just become, as much as I love and appreciate the internet and all of the wonderful, you know, energy that it can bring to a business, it can also bring extreme overwhelm.
Yes.
So talking about this space of like, what really drives you crazy about running your business and working with clients and just kind of the things that they don't understand?
Yes, for sure. So on that topic, if I could just backtrack a little bit, my history is actually back 22 years ago when I started all this. I was one of the few females in a male-dominated industry. And so I quickly found that I need to hide my identity online through when we were doing the chats and stuff. I had a picture of my dog as my profile picture, and nobody knew if Sarvi was a male or a female. And so they just assumed I was a male. And that's how I worked for many, many years with other programmers and other digital marketers. Because as soon as they found out I was a female, their attitude changed a little bit. And I found that they dumbed their conversation down to me to, you know, thinking that I don't understand or, you know, whatever the reasoning was. It is a lot better now out there. And there's so many more other great ladies out there doing amazing work. So it has certainly come a long way. But I have a soft spot for small businesses and medium-sized businesses that don't understand technology and go to a IT company and get bombarded by tech talk that they don't understand. So that is one of my...
We're starting a new show. Watch out, TED Talk. We're taking
That's
over
right.
TED Talk.
So I really feel for them, because I was also in the same position years ago where I guess people would talk to me like I don't understand. And I know some small businesses maybe don't understand, but a lot of them are savvy enough to understand social media and things like that. So anyway, it is one of my pet peeves. So one of the things I want to say is when we approach a company that wants marketing, sometimes they come to us saying, oh yeah, I need pay-per-click. That's what I need. And that's one of my frustrations, because digital marketing is like a all-encompassing, wholesome ecosystem of different things that you need to do depending on what your goals are. So if you come to us and say, I need pay-per-click, and have no idea of why you need the pay-per-click, because you heard it, you know, they heard it somewhere in social media that you should do that, or it has good ROI, then what happens is, if they insist on it and we do the service, because we are a business and we need to make money, and they don't listen to the advice of going the whole route of stepping back a little bit and having a full digital strategy, and we dive in, is that they get disappointed very quickly that, you know, their $1 is not turning into $5 within a month. And
now I have to chime in on this, because I come from a marketing background too, as
yes.
you know. And as all of our listeners know, I ran a marketing agency for just over 10 years. And I have to just say, when you say people come to you and say things like, I need pay-per-click ads, okay, and maybe you don't want to admit this on the podcast, but I'm going to say it. When people would come to me and say, I need this, yes. I would say, how do you know? Like, how do you really know that's what you need?
Yes.
Because you're not a marketer. And so I think this is goes back to what I originally said. There's just so much information on the internet that people are like, oh, I need this. Oh, I need that. Oh, I need this. And it's like, okay, wait a minute. And so going back to your ecosystem thing, you don't have to admit if you think that, because like, I just wanted to scream and be like, actually, you don't.
I totally you agree need with you. This. Right.
This is really what you need. And but people have a tendency, sorry, not people, entrepreneurs have a tendency to want to go in for the quick fix of, I just need blogs, or I just need more social media posts, or I just need a new website, or I just need pay-per-click ads. And to go into your point, this is not how marketing works.
Exactly.
Right? So shed some light on what it is that we really need as small business owners.
So I really think every business should take a step back and first of all, fully know their customer avatar or their buyer persona, whichever you want to call it. There's same thing.
There's a
yeah.
Right now. Yeah. It's all the same thing, guys. No.
Yes, exactly. Because sell to everybody, but you cannot market to everyone. So you need to niche down to exactly who that persona is to that you're marketing to, and then focus on that. And it can be more than one, but always realize that you can't, you can't market to everybody. So when I met a financial advisor at a networking meeting, and I was like, who is your customer? He's like, anybody that breathes. Okay.
Well, and here's the thing, right, Sarvi? You can market to everybody, but that doesn't mean you're going to make money.
True.
Right? So if you are marketing to everybody and you're wondering why there's no money coming in, it's because you can, but you just shouldn't.
Yes, I think your message doesn't hit home for most people if you're doing it that way. Just a shotgun approach of, you know, throwing everything out and hoping something sticks. Whereas if you have a buyer persona or an avatar, then you can focus your marketing and your messaging and the words that you use and the pain points that you're, making your buyer aware of so that you can solve it for them. A more direct message to that person. So your marketing will work better.
And I really love that you brought this up. So I had a conversation with a client the other day. And when I work with my coaching clients, we obviously break down, you know, what is your customer avatar? And then we do, you know, content segmentation. So making sure that the right message goes out to the right people at the right time. And so I said to her, okay, so like use this chart and break down who your perfect client is. I like to call them the perfect client because like nobody really wants ideal, right? We want perfect. And you want to attract your perfect client because then it's easy to sell to them. And so she sends me the sheet back and she has four different avatars. And I said, okay, so before I even look at what these avatars are, tell me why you have four.
Right.
She said, well, because we have four packages. And I said, okay, so what is different about the packages that you would sell to four different people? And she said, well, I don't know. Okay, I think we need to go back and look at this. So when it comes, because I think that this is a big thing for people, is they know that they need a customer avatar, but they don't really know why they need it, where it fits, how many of them do I need? Do I need one for every product I have? Do I need one for every package I have? Like my answer was no, because all of the packages sell the same thing. They're just... the two lower end packages are kind of for your brand new businesses, and the two higher end packages are for your growing businesses. So you really need two avatars,
yes.
Right? And they just pick between the price point. But can you shed some light on this and what it's like to, maybe what it was like for you to design your avatars so that people can get a better understanding, because we all hear you need to know who your client is. And most people don't even understand what do I actually do with that information? Like, how do I figure this out?
Right, exactly. So how we came upon our avatars, and they've changed over the past 22 years. In the beginning, they used to be C-level executives in a bigger company, but now they've changed to more female entrepreneurs that are trying to make a go of it online. And so how we came up with that was, well, first of all, I have a soft point for the small person trying to make a go of it online, the small business, because it's so hard out there. So that's my passion, is helping them be able to flourish, especially online, because the online marketing has pretty much leveled the marketplace between, you know, the Walmarts and the person that has a little store. You can still compete relatively well. I mean, you used to be able mm-hmm. to 10 years ago a lot better, but still, you can still compete relatively well with a big box store if you have the right marketing and strategy. So how we came up with it was A, because of my passion, and B, because of our website builder and our specialties, and the fact that we wanted to help the small business and also have fun, is how we came up with our different avatars that we use for our own business. So,
okay. I have to say, I love that you mentioned passion. Yeah. Because I've never really heard anyone talk about this when it comes to designing the avatar. It's just like, are they male or female? What age are they? What are they typically buying? Mm-hmm. Where do they live? Right? We know yeah. that. But I think that you really, this is like $1 million tip. And I love when these come up on the podcast, because when you're designing your avatar, there's this point, I think, where yes, it has to be something that you can sell and people are actually going yes. to buy. But if it's something that you're going to sell and people are going to buy and you hate it, well, you know, you're going to run into a few bigger problems than just not being able exactly. to sell, right? It's how the heck do I show up for this every single day, day in and day out, and keep that motivation, excitement, and energy alive. So I love personally that you have pulled passion into this process. And I imagine that's something that you focus on with your clients
absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a good point on that, like there's a difference between demographic targeting and buyer persona targeting. It's two separate things. And I think people confuse that. So their age and their gender and, you know, where they live is demographics. Whereas the persona is like as if you were looking at your friend, she or he is more than just a gender and an age group and a place they live. They have goals, they have passions, they have pain points, they have things they want to achieve in life, and that is what makes the avatar so powerful.
I agree. And I always say to people, it's imagine like you're talking to yeah. your friend, right? That's how you should be able to talk to your clients, because you should know them so well that you should be able to predict where the conversation's going. And this is, I think, exactly. where, not to get off track so much from digital marketing, but it all is hand in hand. This is where selling becomes easy. And people always say, it's so hard, it's so hard, it's so hard. But if you do this upfront yes. work properly, then the selling actually becomes easy. I can't count the amount of times I'm on the phone with people and they're like, how did you know that?
Yes.
Just like, because I know my exactly. client. I know my client. I get it. I know what you're going through.
Yeah, because once you know that, then you can start strategizing for your digital marketing strategy. You know, like, where do they hang out? Are they on podcasts? So should you be doing podcasts? Are they on Facebook? So should you be on Facebook? All these questions become clear rather than, hey, I should be on Facebook because, you know, everybody's on Facebook and that's what I feel like I should do.
And this happens all the time. I just got literally just right before we got on here, had a message from someone who said, oh, I saw so-and-so doing this on Clubhouse, so I'm going to go do it. And I said, but they're not even in the same industry as you. Right. So maybe it will work. I mean, I'm not going to say it won't. I don't know. I'm not the be-all end-all of like marketing decision-making. But do you think that you should just sit with that for a bit and explore it? So can you share, before we wrap up here, I don't want to go too long, but can you share with us some of the things that a digital marketing plan should include?
Sure. So we have like a sheet that includes every possible thing you can do digitally, including geo targeting and connected TV ads, everything that you can possibly do. So once we have the persona, once we have an idea of who we're targeting, then we sit down and we look at all those and we decide, depending on your budget, depending on your immediate goals and then your long-term goals, which of these venues would serve your business better. Sorry, my cat is insisting on being on this podcast. So
yes.
So after that, then the important part to remember is that none of it is, except for paid ads maybe, none of it is really that immediate. So make sure that you stick with it, and it's okay to adjust and optimize, you know, where your leads and sales are coming from as you go, but give it time. Don't expect everything to work within the first, you know, 2 weeks and then change course, because you'll never know what really works and what doesn't work if you don't give it some time.
I feel like that is such a valid point. And I don't know how you feel about this, but maybe just shed some light on this. I feel like people should just come up with like one strategy per quarter or per year or, you know, for every 6 months and run that strategy and just have points where they check in and go, okay, we did it this way and here's what worked and here's what didn't work. So here's how we make it better. And let's continue to run it, because we get in this state of like, I have to learn Clubhouse now. I literally downloaded the Clubhouse app. I got accepted. And then I thought, I really don't want to spend the time learning this because I'm already in the middle of marketing on this platform. And I've just learned all these other ways to make what I'm already doing better. Like, I should stick in this lane instead of dropping what I'm already doing that I already know that I can make better and switching gears again.
Exactly.
So as much as I love Clubhouse and like I hear it's the rage, you know, there just has to be this point where we say like enough is enough. Not that I'm bashing Clubhouse, guys. Go on and be excited about
it. I've heard great stuff about it too.
Yeah, and I'll send you an invitation because I'm going to go on it eventually.
Thank you.
But, you know, I feel like I'm going to post this podcast and I'm going to get a million messages. Send me a Clubhouse invite. Don't stalk me on social, guys. I'm not sending you one. No, but we do. We so easily fall into this trap of, I need to do more, right? In order to be this, I need to be more, do more, have more, experience more, more, you know, expose more. And there is this space where I feel like the people who have made it really big in their businesses, they truly understand that like less is more. And so while I can pump out a crap ton of content, like, I might be doing it on two platforms and doing it really, really well.
I think that's a really, really great point, Sarah.
Yeah. And I love, you know, and I heard you, you know, chatting on the events, our networking events in the evening, sharing some information. And we kind of got briefly into this conversation. But I think like big takeaways from this episode, guys, are know your avatar, okay, and like revisit that, right? Like Sarvi, you said it's changed a lot over the years, right? And it doesn't mean that you have to change everything about your business, but you need to realize that just like the internet evolves, so do people. So does your client, right? We're learning new things every day. And so we need to evolve, you know, as entrepreneurs, but we also need to realize that, like, wait a minute, our audience is evolving too. And the way they do things is changing. It's like people always want to sell, and I feel like I shouldn't say this because we do, but people always want to sell like directly through PayPal because it's quick and easy and it's like recommended. But like, how does your buyer like
exactly
buy, right? Do you know, and think we just don't tune into this stuff. So Sarvi, before we sign off, can you give one thing that people can do right now, today, after they click off of this podcast that can be game changing in their business when it comes to their digital marketing?
Yeah, I think going back to the roots, which is the buyer persona, and the other part of that is the value proposition, which we didn't talk about. But those two things, I think, is you got to do your homework on that. You got to know who it is you're marketing to, and you got to know why they should buy from you. What I always ask, if you had the perfect customer, why would they buy from you as opposed to your competitor? So most people have no idea how to answer that because
can you give some tips quickly on what kind of answers should come from that? Because when I think of, you know, value proposition, I know a lot of entrepreneurs will say, especially like coaches, right? Well, you get 10 hours of coaching. Okay. But like, what the heck happens in those 10 hours? Like what? And so for me, like value proposition can include things like the way we serve customers, like the physical way we serve them. Like for me, people have, you know, 24 hour a day access to me on Voxer, and like only my high ticket clients have that. Right. It's a way I show up and serve them. So can you give some suggestions on what that should look like for people? What kinds of things they might want to use?
If I may, Sarah. So 10 hours of coaching or those kind of metrics is your offer, not your value proposition.
Yes.
So the value proposition is more like why would they want to spend 10 hours with you? What will they accomplish at the end of it? So what is it that they get from working with you as opposed to someone else that offers the same service? And the best way to go through that, and we have a worksheet on our website too, anyone's welcome.
We're going to drop it
You're welcome to download and use it to work on. But jot down all the reasons, even if they're tiny, minuscule reasons, why you think someone should buy from you. And then go through that list, pick three reasons that are the most unique for your company. And then from that, build your offer, which would be, you know, this many hours and, you know, so on and so forth. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I want to just chime one thing in on that, because in my years of working with 15,000 entrepreneurs here in Savvy, I love it, and you have such a valid point. And to like add on to that, so many people will say, but I don't really know the value, or I'm not really worth that much. If people, it's a service based, people tend to not understand it. So one of the things that I really love doing with entrepreneurs when it comes to this, and I don't do marketing anymore, so guys, you need to go to Sarvi, but like one of the things is when we talk about the value proposition, if you're not sure what the value is, go back to your own process. So when I became a coach, right, what I learned about coaching that made me go, oh shit, that's what I need to do, right? I now teach that. And so when I look at my own journey and how I learned how to do what I do, and like what I teach comes from what I learned and how I applied it to my own business, it's why I teach it, right? Same with products. the way you buy products is because you exactly. love how you buy those products. So go back and do a self-assessment of when you were building your business or while you've been building your business, what have those triggers been that really ignited you and made you go, oh, yeah. I have to do this, right? Because that is the value proposition. If it excited you yeah. and changed your business, or if it excited you and changed your health or your life or your money, your wealth or your time, that's probably yeah. what's going to excite your body.
I think that's a really great point. I think if you pay attention to yourself and why you buy something or subscribe to something and you dissect why you did that, you will come to that person's value proposition. And so that will help you also guide you on how to build yours. So yeah.
Yeah. So good. So good. Okay. Any final thoughts that you want to add? Anything that you feel like it's super important that maybe we missed?
I think just as entrepreneurs, I just want to tell everyone out there, don't give up. Just keep going. I mean, it's hard. It's got so many bad days, but the good days and the great stuff and the services and products you can provide to people out there that help them is worth the journey. So keep going. There's people out there to help you.
Yeah, I love that. I was there last week. I was like, I'm quitting. I'm closing Savvy down.
I can't tell you how many times I've said that.
I know. And it happens. It happens to all of us guys, all of us. Like Sarvi, you've been in business. You mentioned, yeah. you know, 20 something years. I've been 14 years and still 14 years in.
Absolutely.
I have days where I'm like, God, I just want to quit. Like, why am I doing this? And then you have that thing that happens and you're like, oh, right. That's why, right? Like one of my staff messaged me like literally 3 days later. And they just bought a new home and she, you know, sent me a picture of her and her kids and her uh-huh. husband in front of her new home. And she said, like, the only reason we were able to buy this was because awesome. I have this yes. job with you. Right. It totally made me cry. And I was like, Sarah, that's yes. why you can't quit.
I know,
help people buy homes. I mean, very indirectly. But like, we don't look at it yeah. that way sometimes, right? We don't really stop and look at the reality of what it truly means to be an entrepreneur. And I feel like I want to do a series on this because I think that like going deeper, it helps with this whole process of everything that we're talking about and it to go into yeah. the marketing, right? When we can go into this kind of, I call it the internal level yes. for like external, internal. When we can talk internally about what really happens to a person when they buy, use, experience us or our product, this changes the whole way our digital marketing, you know, comes yeah. across and what people get from it. So
thank you,
Sarvi,
so much.
Thank you so much for being on. I feel yes. like we could talk about this all day. We're going to have you on again.
Thank you
series. So
much. It's been great to be on here and I'm really honored that I was able to do this. So thank you.
I'm so glad. Guys, we're going to drop some links to the buyer persona worksheet and a couple other sure. links that Sarvi might have to provide to you guys to get connected to some resources that you can use. Use the resources, guys. We don't share these in the show notes just for the fun of it. We take the time to find people who can be on our podcast who have something valuable to share. And so use the worksheets. Apply it and you will see transformation in your business. It's not enough to just listen to the podcast. We want to see you take action, get results, and get connected to the amazing guests that we have on here. So we're going to link Sarvi, how people can get connected to you in the show notes also. So thank you again for being on. I will see you on yes. Coffee and Connections tomorrow.
I can't wait.
And yeah,
thank you so much, Sarah. Have a good day also.
All right.
Bye.